back by Michael Strahan.
I will always remember the Giant fans.
Welcome to Giants Chronicles. I'm Bob Papa. Today we focus in on a true Giants legend, a man who played in three different decades for the Giants, Phil Sims. Drafted out of Morehead State in the first round of 1979, Phil Sims would go on to become a Super Bowl MVP. When I sat down and talked with Phil, the road from the beginning was a rocky path on his trip to New York.
New York Giants first round selection. Quarterback Phil Sims, Morehead State.
Phil, take me through draft day 1979 and when you got word that you were a member of the New York Giants.
It was a neat day. Morehead State actually had to throw together a press conference. They were not prepared, and everybody came, and everybody was crazy about it. So it was, I think of that and really have some good laughs.
When it finally happened that you were drafted by the Giants, you knew you were coming to New York. Did you have any trepidation about coming to New York and playing for the Giants?
No, not at all. You know, everybody always asks me, well, what a change from Kentucky to New York. And, you know, always athletes, it was going to be a football stadium and all that stuff. So it didn't bother me at all. In fact, I was kind of excited. I said, wow, New York, that's pretty cool. Never been here, of course. And was really looking forward. I played, of course, a lot my rookie year. I'll never forget about midway through the season, I was going, oh, my gosh, the weather is awful up here in the wind. It was a very windy rookie year. Let me rephrase that. It was a windy career and played a lot of really high wind games.
Teams have great practice facilities now. They've got field houses. The Giants have it now. They had a bubble after you left. How much, though, did it benefit, I mean, practicing in it? Once the grass got chewed up in that parking lot.
Yeah, after 2 weeks.
I mean, you practiced in the stadium that you played in.
Every day. You know, Bob, people always ask me that. You know, and I have a little fun with it. I say, yeah, I had a great advantage over the opposing quarterback. I knew I was going to play bad. He hadn't found out yet. And you know, the other thing was is that it did teach me, you know, kind of went back and forth, like your career, your thought process. But when I was at ease with bad weather, and I knew how to change my expectations for the game and how I was going to play. And, you know, I know the coaches did too. So over time, it became a great benefit.
In the early days, as you were finding your way, who were some of the big sounding boards for you? Who did you kind of lean on when you needed some help?
In my career, the guy that kind of changed my mindset was Bill Parcells. There's no question. Just the way he talked to me and made it really personal and really kind of let me know that, look, we're going to win or lose because how you play. Let's go. And it made me feel great.
All right, we got to get something going here. Now.
Damn, no, go.
Has that adversarial relationship that you had with Parcells, or at least the way it seemed, been overblown?
Sure it is. Yeah.
Phil, look, when we call the wide cat, that's who we're trying to throw to.
Don't
be too inventive, okay?
Okay, they took him. They're covering him.
I know. I saw it.
It's pretty unique when you see a quarterback and a coach stand on the sideline yelling at each other. And I usually did not yell back. I usually just sit there and took it.
Hey, Phil, I'll run the game.
I don't know who you're sending in.
I'm sending goal line in.
Well, somebody give me something.
Okay.
I got time to make a call.
So every once in a while when I would say something back, I would go, oh my gosh, that is the man I just did that to. I'm in trouble. Bill was different. You couldn't offend him. You couldn't say anything that would offend him. He'd laugh about it and go, hey, you really hated me yesterday, didn't you? You hated me. You wanted to hit me.
The 83 season was horrible. 84, Bill Parcells basically said, Phil, you got to be the offense. I mean, you threw for over 4,000 yards. What was it like to have that trust of the staff and the team, knowing that you were going to be the key to the offense? They're going to win or lose on your arm.
Hey, expectations were low, and we just went. You know, Mark Bavaral became the full-time tight end as he became it. And we started doing a lot of vertical passing. We spread the offense out. Getting all those throws and playing that style, no question, helped us in the run to go to win the Super Bowl 2 years later.
Did you get a sense as a player, was there a vibe in the locker room that 84, you have a good season. You do personally, the team does. You get in the playoffs, and you lose that playoff game against the Chicago Bears. But do you feel at this point that, okay, we got a strong engine under this hood, and there's potential here to really be special?
As the playoffs started in 85, I believed that we could be Super Bowl champions. And I was thinking, man, Super Bowl, that's incredible. We have a chance to maybe do this. But it didn't fall our way in Chicago that day. A couple drop passes, a couple receivers who weren't covered in the game that I didn't see, the punt. But it just comes down to this. We weren't ready. Maybe I wasn't quite ready to make that couple decisions in the game. Opportunities were there, and you realized how close to winning the Super Bowl and not winning it, how close we were.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Phil Simms.
Phil Simms is really quite a unique guy. He tries to do everything he can to ensure the success of the team. He's very unselfish. I think it's important that the rest of the team know that the quarterback is a fighter, and Phil Simms is a fighter.
Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Phil Simms. So what's Phil Simms thinking as you go to training camp in 86?
86 is when we went down to scrimmage the Atlanta Falcons. As we practiced against them day after day, I could see, wow, we're pretty good. They're trying all their best stuff, and we're just crushing everything they're doing on both sides of the ball. So I think during that preseason, I kind of thought to myself, man, we have a chance to really have a great record this year.
So the season starts to unfold, and, you know, at times the defense, you know, was a stalwart. You guys ran the football very effectively. What was your feel as to where the offense was?
Well, I think it was kind of like it had been the previous 2 years. We were making big pass plays. And I think of the opening game against the Cowboys, a lot of big pass plays, a lot in the second game against the San Diego Chargers.
Giants fans love to talk about, the Metrodome and 4th-and-17. I mean, take us through what you're thinking as that's all unfolding.
We went back to probably maybe the one of the first plays we installed in training camp. I knew I told Bobby Johnson, Bobby, don't fall asleep over there, because we never threw it to him in that play. And I just got a feeling, I kind of knew the coverage they were going to play, and I saw it. And to throw the football when it leaves your hand, I knew it was perfect.
Simms throws, complete, he's in. Yes, at the 30-yard line, first down.
Monday night game in San Francisco, where you guys come back and you beat him, and the Bavaro play where he's carrying Niners. Was that sort of a window into the soul of your football team, that you guys were down, you came back?
You know, we needed big plays. We made big plays. Man, we made a lot of big plays that night. Wow. And then Mark Bavaro, everything that we all thought about him and had seen for so long and so much, and he did it on national TV. You know, he carried him down the field, and we really, truly, probably that game signified what Bill Parcells had taught us. You know, don't be afraid. You know, be aggressive in all situations. Never worry about losing. Don't, you know, all that, everything. It was great. Even his halftime speech. You know, he's not a big halftime speech guy. He wasn't. We come in, and he look. Simms, how many field goals did we miss? I go, two. Man, two field goals. And he's like, God, fellas, when's this going to end out here? When are we going to get this? Let's do it. Let's end this 49er thing once and for all. I mean, it was awesome. It was the best speech, one of the best speeches he ever gave. And I, like I told you, he wasn't a big rah-rah guy.
You finally get the Niners in your building, and you smash them.
Simms is looking for a target. Simms, end zone, touchdown Bavaro!
I mean, that had to be sweet.
Well, it was back-to-back years getting them in Giant Stadium in the playoffs, which was great. I could feel the dominance, the physical dominance of our offensive line early in the game. I'll never forget when Joe Morris, I think it was the second quarter, when I handed the ball off to him, he went off the left side and ran down the end zone. I was looking at him going, wow, he's fast. And nobody touched him. Our offensive line was just magnificent in the run game that day.
You guys clinched the division, if I'm not mistaken, in Washington. Winning down in Washington, especially with that RFK crowd and the stands moving, was there any better place to win on the road?
This is my favorite spot in the NFL, playing in Washington. It wasn't a windy stadium. The crowd was great. They really hated us. You had to walk down that dugout to go out on the field. And one day I'm walking down that dugout before that game. It was before this game in 86. Parcells looked at me and goes, you know, Sims, they hate us so much here, they like us. I went, gotcha. Made sense to me. I mean, it's like Yogi Berra. But it was true. They hated us so much that there was, you know, there was something there.
NFC Championship game, brutal conditions for a quarterback to throw the ball in.
Well, I'll tell you, it was so bad that it took the pressure off of me. At least in my mind it did. I thought, well, nobody expects me to do crap here in this stuff.
You win the coin toss. Bill puts the defense on the field first, you know, deal with the wind.
I think there was a lot of, in that game, I was relieved that we withstood the elements and that we dealt with them very well. Man, we dealt with them well. We took advantage of it when we had the wind, and we really did a good job into the wind, too. It was a perfect game by us to win the way we did against a team that was pretty explosive and pretty tough.
You win the NFC Championship game. There's a party like none ever seen before in the stands for the fans who, you know, hadn't seen the championship since 1956. You know the whole history. As a player, as Phil Sims, the man in the moment, were you able to enjoy that, or were you already on to next, and I still have another game to go, and it's the Super Bowl?
You know, I said this talking about the Giants season that year. I just said, I remember walking on the field, wow, we're going to the Super Bowl. I mean, I thought this was only for great players. I mean, I swear to you, that's exactly what I was thinking in my head. You know, I'm thinking, man, but maybe it's not. I'm going.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Phil Sims. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Phil Sims.
He was just really an unconquerable guy. No matter what you did to him, no matter what kind of beating that he took, he was getting you the next time.
I don't have to motivate this team for this game. Are you kidding? This is the Super Bowl. If you can't get ready to play this game, you ought to take a hike.
Cold against San Francisco, windy as all get up against Washington. Now you get out to Pasadena. You must have been in heaven.
I was so excited the week off before we went out there. I just kept thinking, oh, my God, we're going to see warm. It's so true. But, yeah, I think I was more excited. The fact, there's no question, I was really excited about practicing and playing a game in great weather.
Were there indicators leading into the game that you could have a big game, not just as a team, but individually, that there were some things that you saw in their defense that, you know, I can have some pretty good success throwing the ball, not 22 of 25 necessarily, but that we can have a lot of success in the passing game, or did it just develop?
You know, I don't remember ever sitting there thinking that we were going to have a great passing day. People always say, well, where did it come from? Oh, I said, wait, oh, how did we throw it against the Redskins in that big game? How did we throw it against the 49ers in the playoff game? How did we do against the 49ers out there? You know, so it was there. We were a big play machine. We really were. And so we just continued that day in that game. But I definitely did not go, wow, we're going to have a great day. I know this. We were putting a lot of emphasis on the passing game that week of practice. I think when it hit me was the Friday before the game, we practiced. We had a great week of practice. And we're throwing the ball. Everybody's catching it. And Bill got nervous. I swear to you, he kind of goes, all right, now, let's don't leave it here. Let's stop. You know, and I could hear it in him because it was clicking so well. He thought, hell, let's don't leave it on the practice field.
Sims has the ball. Sims throws, end zone. Before, touchdown.
He takes the head off. Sims trying to throw, does. Touchdown, deep ball. Comes in motion to the right-hand side. Pitch. Forrester turns around, back to Sims. On the flea flicker. Sims is looking way downfield. He's got a receiver. Complete. Down to the 10. 5. Touchdown, I believe. And that'll be the mark of the 1. Still in the pocket of the 1-yard line.
Now in stadiums, you've got, it's all digital. There's everything. You know, you played in the Rose Bowl. They had a scoreboard. gave you the score, the down and distance, pretty much it. Did you have an idea as the game was going on how successful you were playing, you know, statistically?
Yeah, no, people ask me. No, I had no idea.
You
were
just playing.
It never even crossed my mind. Yeah, I just, all I know is we only scored one touchdown in the first half. I remember going, man, we had so many opportunities. You know, and then you go in the locker room, you think, and every time I threw the ball, it was there. The numbers and how well it went and all that, that didn't even hit me after the game when people said, hey, you were 22 of 25. I saw it on the scoreboard when they named me the MVP.
When did it sink in after you won the game? Was it after the game? Was it when you were sitting at home in the offseason? When were you able to really be satisfied?
I think when I came home after the game, the next morning we woke up, and my wife and I, oh, my God, you know, it was the greatest moments of our athletic career together. It was the best because we just sit there and go, oh, my God, you know, we won.
I'm going to go to Disneyland. All these people thinking, what the f*** is he doing?
The rest of your life, man, nobody can ever tell you that you couldn't do it because you did it.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Phil Simms.
Phil was a tough son of a gun. Phil would get in your face. And that, as a defensive player, you respected that. He was not a pushover. He was not soft. He would come back at you. Phil was a leader from day one.
Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Phil Simms. '87, it's a bad year. Strike, the whole deal. '88, you went from having a chance to win the division in a first-round bye to not even getting in. You come back in '89, strong football team. You started working in new receivers. You know, they had a changing of the guard a little bit in some of your receivers. They drafted, you know, it was Stephen Baker and Odessa Turner, and, you know, you start bringing guys in. '90, though, 10-0 right out of the chute.
Sims looking for a target. Rolls right. He's going long, way down deep. It is complete to Ingram. Touchdown!
Did you feel that whatever was missing in that playoff game in '89 or what was missing a little bit in '88,
you guys had it back? Well, I think in '90 we redirected the team and kind of changed a little bit. It was really well thought out during the offseason and everything, and we just kind of changed who we were a little bit. Instead of this team that was looking for nothing but big plays, we came a little more methodical. Now we had a way to make safe little plays underneath and stuff like that. So it was different. And, of course, it was good for me early because I played very well right from the start. So that was good.
The Buffalo game, miserable day. You get hurt.
Simms is down and getting up slowly.
Did you know at the time that you had no shot of playing again the rest of that year, or were you thinking, I might be able, if we get in the playoffs, get back?
Oh, no, I knew I was out right away. I came off the field at the end of the first half, and Bill goes, you all right? And I go, I think I broke my foot.
Simms is starting to limp off the field here. It's a first down for the Giants.
When I came off the field, I knew the year was over.
How hard was it to not be playing?
Well, it was hard then, hard to go through the run, to watch them go to the Super Bowl, to see all the fun they were having. And, you know, I had a part in it. There's no question. Man, I played a lot of games that year.
10 wins on the board.
But I'm still proud of that Super Bowl ring, of course. And I was part of two of them.
The record shows you're the greatest quarterback in Giants history. Numerically, you won two championships. How do you think the Giant fan remembers Phil Simms?
If I've met 10,000 Giant fans and talked to them over since I've retired, it is a shutout. It's 10,000 to zero. They all say good things and thank you and this and that. And every once in a while, the ones that have the courage go, you know, I didn't like you, but you made me like you. And I go, wow, that's even a better compliment. Thank you.
I'm going to go to Disneyland.
It's all about, you got to win a championship or two. You know, that's what fans remember.
Played in three decades, 70s, 80s, 90s. You wore number 11 Till this day, people walk around with an 11 jersey. You only wore one uniform your entire career. You were a Giant and known only as a Giant.
To play my career just with the Giants, I'm very proud of it. It keeps my affiliation with the team, with the Maras, the Tishes, and everybody else involved. I think it just makes us all tighter.
What does this mean to Phil Simms? Once a Giant, always a Giant.
What it means to me is I'm just kind of part of the New York culture. You know, the Giants are such a big deal up here. And to realize what it means to all the fans, the families. And of course now I see, you know, 40-year-old people who are little kids. Hey, I loved you when I was a little kid. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. So the culture of the Giants, what it means for this area and still how big they are now, it's a great honor.
Phil Simms played 15 seasons for the Giants and was a Super Bowl MVP. And although Phil Simms was known as a champion on the field, Phil Simms will always be remembered by his teammates as a champion in the locker room. Phil Simms, a true Giants legend. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for watching us here on Giants Chronicles. This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com.